Hey, welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, joined today by my dad and co-host, Dr. Tim Clinton. Thank you for listening. Hey, if you enjoy today's broadcast and want to help the AACC equip the church to provide Christian mental health care and resources to those in need, and even to help us provide training to those ready to step into a people-helping role, just go to aaccfoundation.org. Again, that's aaccfoundation.org to donate. Your gift helps keep this program and your station on the air as we expand our ministry to train others to have effective mental health ministries. Hey, we'd love for you to be a part of our family as we continue sharing messages of help, hope, and healing with today's generations. My dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and I have a wonderful guest joining us now. So let's get started.
Really excited about today's conversation. My son and co-host Zach Clinton recently sat down with contemporary Christian music artist Katie Nicole. Katie is 24 years of age, but this young lady, she's filled with wisdom way beyond her age. You're going to love this conversation. Let's join Zach and Katie Nicole.
Miss Katie Nicole, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
So excited to have you here, and what a blessing it is just to spend some time backstage before you're about to take the stage at a sold-out crowd, 7,500 women, our Extraordinary Women Have Faith Tour here at the Giant Center, Hershey, Pennsylvania. So excited to have you. Just heard you get off the stage from soundcheck. You sound amazing, so I cannot wait for tonight, but I'm interested. I'm a former athlete. I understand what it's like to perform, in a sense, under the bright lights. How do you prepare? Prepare for a night of worship such as this?
I feel like it's a process. I dive into the word, keep my heart in a good place. But obviously I'm human, so things get in the way of that and I get distracted and things like that. But I try to do that as best as I can, even if it's just me looking at the daily verse on the Bible app on my phone.
Yeah.
But I also really love to just sit with God, just kind of have moments of quiet. And it's hard to find those moments of quiet when everything is kind of loud around you.
Yeah.
But I really just allow God to kind of provide those things for me. I don't usually have to search for them. I don't have to find them. God kind of provides that for me.
Yeah, just kind of sitting in his presence then, is that approach, and then recognizing, we'll get into this, that worship and praise, they're ultimately not a performance, but really a posture that we
absolutely
have to the Lord, in a position and knowing who we are, right, because of whose we are. Katie, I know this, though, that yes, you do a lot of performing on stages, you sing, you have amazing songs, some of my favorites in the world, but I also know that life hasn't always been about ease and comfort and convenience. There's been a lot of pain. And I would love for you just to be willing to share some of that story and some of that pain with our listeners and viewers today.
Yeah, absolutely. I have gone through a lot in my life. I'm only 24 years old, but I've definitely dealt with a lot. I've had two back surgeries. I was born with scoliosis, and so I had my first back surgery when I was 15 years old. And they put metal rods and screws into my spine, and that was a really hard surgery to go through, but it was even harder afterwards because I was dealing with a lot of physical pain and a lot of emotional pain. And that emotional pain really took over my life. It started to kind of consume me in a way that I can only describe it as like the darkest of times. Like it really was so dark. I even look back and it's hard to remember moments of that because it was so dark and it was my lowest point. I actually dealt with a lot of pain for about 3 years of my life after the surgery. So I had another surgery when I was 18. So just to put it into perspective, 15 to 18 years old was how long I was in this pain. And there was one day when I was probably 16 or 17 where I just really didn't know if I wanted to be on earth anymore. I felt like I was taking up too much space, and I felt like nothing that I ever did was enough for anyone, and my life was just pain, feeling like I wasn't good enough, and I was just sad all the time. Like, there was no way for me to escape this sadness. And so one day that led me to a bottle of pills, and I brought them to the bathroom with me, and I sat with them and I cried. It really wasn't just crying. It was like scream crying. And I put the bottle of pills, or I attempted to put the bottle of pills onto the counter and it fell onto the floor and it spilled. And, you know, I thought that cap was on tight. So it's one of those moments where I was like, only Jesus could have done that. Because I don't think in that moment that I knew God very well. Yeah. I think my relationship with Jesus was very, it wasn't really there. It was non-existent.
Yeah.
I knew God because I've been a Christian my whole life. But in that moment, God became so real to me because I just internally felt this voice saying, hold on, I'm not done yet. I just knew my story wasn't done. And I didn't know really why. I didn't know that my story, like I didn't get it, you know? But in that moment, I was like, okay. I don't recommend making ultimatums with God, but I kind of did in that moment. And I would say that I just kind of said, God, I don't know what you want from me. And I don't know what your plan is for me. But I said, I will hold on a little bit longer. And he really pressed into my heart the year 2018. Didn't know why. He just did. And I said, God, I'll stay alive until 2018. And then I can't do this anymore. And it's actually insane to me.
Yeah.
Like the miracle, like if I could look back on my life and say, this is probably the greatest miracle. It's God pressing into my heart that the year 2018 was so important. And then having my second back surgery, December 12th, 2018.
Wow.
Right before 2019 was about to begin.
Mm.
That's the last month of 2018. And I'm going into this back surgery. And doctors are telling me that it could be way worse than I was dealing with at that moment.
Right.
And then what ended up happening was when I came to the other side, I truly saw the light again for the first time. And that surgery was so incredibly successful because I was in the hospital for the first surgery for 2.5 weeks. But the second one, I was in there for 5 days. I had zero opioids in my body.
Mm.
The only thing that I had was a low dose of something called ketamine and aspirin. Tylenol. I had Tylenol for after 5 days of being in the hospital.
Wow.
And having metal taken out of my body.
Right.
That's a crazy thing to happen.
Yeah.
Only Jesus.
Mm. Man, oh man. Let me tell you, Katie, I appreciate your vulnerability and being willing to share about some of those deep and dark and difficult moments. You reminded me of some statistics recently. The CDC back in 2021 came out with stats that revealed that 57% of our girls that live in the United States of America today suffer from persistent sadness and depression. 30% have seriously contemplated suicide.
Hmm.
September is known as National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
And for you, just being someone who struggled in that position of suicidal ideation, there may be a viewer or listener out there who's struggling today with anxiety, with depression, with suicidal ideation. They believe that this world would truly be better off without them. What's just the word in the middle of this conversation that you would share with that individual today?
Well, honestly, I would start by saying a big factor in that is this.
Absolutely.
It's having a phone, not my cat. My cat's my screensaver, but it's our phones. I mean, even for me, comparison is a huge thing. Like, I look at other people and I'm like, they've got it better than me. But really, the grass is always greener on the other side.
Yeah.
It's not. It's not. They don't have it better. It just looks better because we can put our best moments on social media.
Mm-hmm.
We can put our absolute best because that's not real.
Right.
The reality of it all is that you're not taking up too much space.
Mm.
Your life matters to so many people around you, and you might not even realize it.
Yeah.
You know, I think even I don't realize this sometimes, but there are so many people that are touched by your story and your life, and you'll never meet them.
That's right.
You'll never meet them, but they know who you are. Mm. And maybe you kept them on this earth.
Mm.
That's the thing. Our stories are why we're here. We're here to testify. We're here because our testimonies are important. Our lives are important to save other people.
Hmm.
You know, we don't have to sit and be like, you have to follow Jesus.
Hmm.
If all that you ever do is treat people with kindness and tell them about why Jesus changed your life and not force anything on them, but just be like, this is who Jesus is. Hmm. This is what I know of Jesus's character and the life of Jesus. And I want to be like him. And, you know, we all have inspirations in our life.
Yeah.
And the people who aren't Christians obviously probably would say someone other than Jesus.
Yeah.
But I would say that Jesus is my inspiration. And Jesus inspires everything that I do. And I'm so thankful for Jesus because he really truly has changed my life. He he knows how to redeem a life. And I would say that he can redeem anybody. And that's just a known fact. But for somebody who's an atheist, they're probably looking at you like you're crazy.
Yeah.
They're like, well, I don't believe anything that you say. Here's the thing. A lot of people who are sad, a lot of people who are depressed are missing something. Even Christians have a void here.
That's right.
And the only way to fill it is Jesus. But it's also not to say that your depression or anxiety or OCD or bipolar or whatever you deal with is just going to automatically go away. It's not going to. Healing is in Jesus. But the thing is that God made no mistakes when he created you. And sometimes that comes with sadness. Because the pursuit of following Jesus comes with hardships.
Yes.
It comes with pain. Jesus went through a lot of pain.
That's right.
And Jesus wept. And it's okay if you weep sometimes. It's okay to not be okay sometimes. You know, I think it's more about not sitting in that place.
Yeah.
Not sitting in that sadness, because when you sit in it for long enough, it begins to take over your life. But I'm also not discrediting what you're going through. I'm not discrediting what the listener is going through at this exact moment in time. Because pain is real.
Mm.
Grief is real.
Mm.
Anxiety is so real. I deal with anxiety on the daily.
Yeah.
Like, I'm medicated for it.
Yeah.
And I'm not ashamed to say that, because here's the thing. God created science. He created doctors. He created all of those things, and he created them to help us.
Hmm.
And if those things are helping, here's the thing. I need my medication, and I need Jesus.
That's right.
You can tell me all you want.
Hmm.
Pray it away. You're not praying enough. I have a song about praying. I'm right. praying all the time. It's crazy to me sometimes the things that people will say.
My dad, he always would say that, Zach, it's in our moments of powerlessness that God draws us closer to himself and reveals the character of his heart. So, Katie, for you, in your moments of powerlessness, I'd be interested to hear, what has God revealed about himself, particularly in those moments?
I think the first thing that comes to mind is peace. He's so peaceful.
Hmm.
Because I could be in the middle of a panic attack, which I deal with a lot,
yeah.
a lot more than I'd like to. And sometimes I will just be hit with this wave of something that I can't explain it. It's mysterious, but isn't God mysterious?
That's right.
And it's so peaceful.
Hmm.
He truly has this peace that surpasses all understanding. Like, that is a truth. That is a promise.
Hmm.
And I find myself to just feel almost euphoric. And it doesn't always happen that way.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, like, sometimes I'll pray and nothing happens.
Mm.
But here's the thing. We don't always know why God does the things that he does. But I think at the end of the day, it's still all going to be for his glory.
That's right.
He needed that to happen so you could go tell somebody about it and be like, you're not alone. You're not alone. I think that's just God's kindness. And I know that sounds really weird, because I'm like,
no.
That's some of the most painful things that I've ever been through. But God's kindness comes from even the hardest of moments.
Mm.
He shows himself as, you know, I think a lot of times panic comes from things that we're doing.
Yeah.
And when we're walking away from the Lord. A lot of times that makes us panic. That makes us stressed. And and so in those moments, maybe God needs us to feel the feelings in order to get to the other side of it.
And I believe that's who our God is, a God who delights in impossibility.
Mm-hmm.
And as we talk about, you know, these promises of God and how God reveals the character of his heart in some of our most painful seasons of life, I'm reminded of a quote by Brandon Lake, who he always says this, that expectancy is the breeding ground for miracles.
Mm.
Katie, a lot of your songs, right, are declarative statements, right?
Yeah.
That in Jesus' name, you write about my God can, God is in this story. And there's so many times, though, that when the pain seems to be ramping up in our life, we allow the problems to override God's promises. So I'd be interested, what are some of those promises? What are some of those verses that you kind of bring yourself back to in moments of panic, in moments of anxiety, in moments of pain, that just recenter and refocus your attention back on Christ?
Yeah, I feel like this has kind of always been my life verse. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. And there's something that is so incredibly beautiful about the whole passage, but those words specifically, in moments of being like, I cannot see the other side. And yet God is like, wait a minute. My plan here is not to harm you.
Yeah.
It's to give you a hope and a future. Our future is held in the hands of Jesus. It's one of the most incredible things. And it has given me so much peace in my life because I've been through a lot. I've gone through so much pain. And yet at the other side of it is God being like, I got you.
Yeah.
I've always had you.
Yeah.
And I think there have been moments of my life where God would speak something over my life and I would just be like, wow, why don't you always talk to me like that? And it's like, why don't you speak to me like that all the time? But it's because not every moment is God going to speak to us.
Right.
He's going to speak when he has something really important to say. And when you are open to what he has to say.
Yeah.
And I'm so closed off sometimes that I don't think I would even understand a word that he had to say to me. But it's in those moments of absolute defeat that I'm actually like, okay, God, I got nothing left. Can't do this. Man, I really tried to do this on my own. And here's what I've realized once again. I just can't. I just can't. And that's God saying, I've got a plan for you.
Right. And I think that's where, that's humility, right? Humility is an accurate understanding of self.
Yeah.
When we start to recognize that we don't have to be the victim of our story, but we also aren't the hero of our story, right? It's not about what we can or shouldn't do. It's about what's already been done, right? Because of the finished work of the cross, he is the hero of our story. And I'm reminded of those words too, because we talk about that we serve such a good and loving God. And Romans 8:28, for, you know, talking about that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who have been called according to his purpose. So often in our lives, we can be conformed to Christ in our hardships, in our sufferings, as James 1 talks about. And so just speak to that. Like, what is this process of becoming continuing to look like for you? Is the pain, is it gone? Has it been an instantaneous, miraculous process where you don't have back pain anymore? Or are you still experiencing it every day?
You know, I wish I could say that it's all gone and I feel great, but that's just not how life works.
Yeah.
You know, I think we have way too many expectations on how things should be. But who am I to tell God how things are supposed to be?
Right.
With my physical pain, I'm like, oh, something is wrong with me. And I wish I didn't have that thing wrong with me.
Yeah.
But I actually see my mental health issues now as like a strength. Like I have ADHD and I have OCD and I have anxiety. And I also have depression, and I also have PTSD. And all of those things are not great, but all of them somehow chemically form me. And I deal with a lot of struggles, and I panic sometimes, and I need to clean things a lot and organize things in a certain way or count something 6 times. But, you know, all of that somehow works for my greater good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, God, maybe use these as my superpowers. And I think that ADHD especially has helped my creativity.
Yeah.
Anxiety has helped me when I procrastinated for so long, and then all of a sudden I have to do something and I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna panic for a second, but then I'm gonna get it done.
That's right. That's right.
And it's just like, if you can kind of spin things to have a positive twist, I feel like life is a little bit better. And no, not all of my pains are gone, but I'm happy. I'm healthy in a way that I'm healthy because Jesus is at the center of my life. But following Jesus just doesn't mean that you're without pain.
Yeah.
Never did I ever see it that way. But I think there were some times where I was like, I wish it was that way. I want it to be that way. God, why is it not that way? Like, you know, there's just a lot of questions that I have, but nothing is too big for God. So he asks me to bring those questions to him. He asks me to leave them at the foot of the cross and just let him handle it. Because there's a lot of burdens that I'm carrying that I shouldn't be carrying on my own.
That's exactly
or
right.
Or at all.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes those burdens are just too heavy to bear. But allowing God to come alongside of you and help you to carry that cross, help you to carry those problems, those burdens, it just lightens the load. Katie Nicole, my friend, thank you so much just for your time, for your willingness to join me for this conversation. I cannot wait to hear you tonight in concert. Aww. You're going to be amazing. And just thank you for your obedience and all that God's continuing to do in and through your life. Thank you again for your time and joining me.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Tim Clinton, President of the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute. Time magazine reported that families who regularly share meals together have kids who are less likely to smoke, drink, use drugs, get depressed, develop eating disorders, or even consider suicide. And here's the kicker. They're also more likely to do better in school, delay sexual activity, eat their vegetables, and hey, they might even know which fork to use. Now, this might surprise you, but the age group that benefits most? Teens. One national study found that those teens who ate with their families three times a week or less wish they had done so more often. That's because in the end, it's not about food, it's about time. It's about you, mom and dad, being present, sharing, shaping hearts. How often should you eat together? As much as possible. Why? Because the family that eats together stays together. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to aacc.net.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AECC United World Conference. See you in September.